What up, what up? Welcome to Geek Nerd Tech. Today, Microsoft has toppled Google. Black Klansman is on the rise. And what happened to Solo? Come and find out.
You are tuned in to Black Hollywood Live's Geek Nerd Tech.
Pulling up in that new toy, the wrist on that boy, rock star like Pink Floyd.
Yes, sir. Welcome to Black Hollywood Live. This is Geek Nerd Tech GNT. I am your host, Akili Shine, joined by my man, Joe Braswell.
What's up?
We are in the building.
How you doing?
Doing good, man.
Good. Better than Drake.
Way better than Drake, man. That Pusha T is flaming.
Yeah, I'm embarrassed to say I haven't had time to listen to it. But I guess I'm doing it now.
Yeah, man. I mean, this is not the diss, but the record is pretty cool. I love the production.
Oh, this is the first cut on the record. Yes. I heard this one, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Have you heard the record?
Yeah, I got the record.
Did you, what do you think about the Kanye production?
Kanye did the whole thing?
Yeah, the whole thing.
Oh, okay. That makes more sense. Yeah, I like it. I think the production is fantastic. I think the songs, all in all, I think it's good, not great. I think he's got like three heaters on there, and the rest are like serviceable. No, nothing bad though.
I mean, but that's kind of Pusha T though. Like, yeah, he's not really gonna give you that big super mainstream crossover hit, but he's gonna give you some solid solid songs, but good lyrical content.
That beat is banging.
Oh, for
all
sure.
These Kanye. I figured Kanye did like a couple, but I didn't think
whole album.
Now yeah. Listening, I'm like, oh, of course.
Yeah, yeah.
I like the Rick Ross one. I like the Kanye track too, except when we talked about he gets out of tickets because of his MAGA hat and shit.
Man,
like thanks Kanye.
Exactly.
Anyway.
Anywho, well, yeah, we got a lot to cover today, so we're gonna jump right into it. First up. Google promises ethical principles to guide development of military AI. This is a very interesting story because Google has always been the company that says, don't be evil, don't do evil. That's mm-hmm. been their motto.
Yep.
And now they are doing business with the government for military purposes and essentially providing the military with artificial intelligence that will help them, quote unquote, with their drone technology. Mm-hmm. A lot of people are up in arms about this because it's like, hey, we're supposed to be the company that's supposed to be leading technology for peaceful resolution, mm-hmm. not for the potential of war, you know? Mm-hmm. So question to you is, hey, is this a shift in the Google paradigm? Like, is this something we should be concerned about? Because people like Elon Musk say that it is the artificial intelligence that's paired with the military that will be the doom of us. Mm-hmm. What do you say?
We 100% should be scared of this. I mean, I don't know how many times do I have to cite the movies.
Right.
Matrix.
One.
Terminator 2.
Two.
I even go to War Games. I'll go back to War Games. That's 1982 on them.
Man.
This is how it goes down. And it's not, you know, and especially the military side. And look, I mean, I appreciate the do no evil, and I appreciate the pledge to, you know, use ethical principles when delivering this to the military. But the problem is you only give someone, so much. You never deliver all the technology, right? Mm-hmm. You give someone a piece of the technology, just like in Terminator 2. Like they didn't give Dr. Dyson the whole Terminator.
Right.
He got the arm.
Right.
And in the arm, he took that technology, and that was technology that built Skynet.
Exactly.
That took us all down.
Exactly.
It was all secular. Like, so you just only need a piece. If they're going to give the military a leg up, then number one, military will be able to build on that in whatever way they want. Probably not ethical because, you know, that's what it is. Number two, it's a Pandora's box thing. Like, once something's out the box, this is why Tim Cook didn't want to start unlocking iPhones, because it's like once you do one, it's only a matter of time before someone finds a back door to find a way to do them all the time.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's the same thing here. Once it's out of the box, there's only a matter of time before people start to get ways to tax stuff.
But from a company's perspective, should I, as Google, wait for the next company to have that government contract?
I mean, I guess that's the thing. I mean, as we'll talk about this later, but Google, you know, I mean, Microsoft just got past Google. I mean, Google is literally omnipresent,
yeah.
You know, literally under everywhere. So, yeah, I mean, you know, look, yeah, Amazon, Facebook, Microsoft, Apple, mm-hmm. those are all companies these companies are fighting for global domination. And Google, sure. Like, feels like the way that you get in, always, historically, throughout all of time, the way that companies succeed with big money is to align themselves with not only the government,
yeah.
but the industrial military complex.
That's right.
You know, think Vietnam, like Bell helicopter. This is what it is. You know?
I mean, the internet, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, I'm completely with you. I feel like it could be the signs of the end I mean, because you don't know like how this technology can be utilized in the future, who can develop upon it.
It's been a good ride. It's been a good ride.
I do feel that Google has the responsibility to ensure the public safety with the technology, mm-hmm. but they also have the right to, you know, commodify it. And so I feel like if they're, and it's a small government contract, it's only like $9 million, which is like literally chump change for Google. Yep. And they're saying they are using it as a way to detail certain locations throughout the world. So it's not going to be used for offensive purposes. It's only supposed to be used just for research.
Sure.
I know, right?
Right.
But, I mean, I'm with you. I'm signed up with you. I feel like it could be a terrible move. I mean, weaponized artificial intelligence. Like, we're already very close to the point of singularity. We don't want artificial intelligence that's able to make decisions with weapons or be able to create weapons. Like, and so having these two things fused together, it doesn't sound good. It doesn't sound right. What does sound right, though, is your favorite company, Microsoft, is way more valuable than Google. How could this be?
I mean,
so the top dog is Apple, which they're the closest company to hit the 1 trillion mark. Mm-hmm. Then next, Amazon. Mm-hmm. Used to be Google, swapped out by Microsoft. Now Google is fourth place. Man, what's going on?
I don't know, but I will say whatever's going on with Microsoft as a company historically, they have... Microsoft has been dead like four times. I mean, four times where people have, like, the company's over. Like, oh, this is it. Apple's got them, or this is it. You know, they can't keep up in the hardware game. Their software is outdated. You know, no one wants to do this. IBM's dead, so Microsoft's dead. Yep. All that stuff. And I cannot believe, and it's not all Xbox either. It's their Surface stuff is like doing well. They had a really good push with their hardware on the Surface side, and I don't know. I gotta give them props. And then they're also like taking a cue from Apple and getting into the consumer electronics game, getting into the phone game. And,
that's right.
I mean, it makes sense.
Not just that, they have cloud computing and they have their office, which has always been popping since the early 90s.
Yep.
I mean, that just the office alone accounts for 30% of their revenue.
Yep.
But it's interesting, like the article was saying that Google, 90% of their revenue comes from advertising. Go figure.
Yep.
Amazon, most of their revenue comes from cloud computing, which we covered, I think, a couple weeks ago. And then Microsoft, 30%, like I said, from office, 30% also from the cloud computing as well. And then 35% from, like you said, Windows Surface and other gaming divisions.
Right.
So I wonder if they'll be able to sustain this moving forward into the future as we, charge forward with more virtual reality, more different, I guess, technological advancements. Like, who is going to take that leading spot?
It's weird. I don't know, because you think about Google and Facebook specifically, who really just built, I mean, their entire fortune is built on information and advertising. Basically, you'll sell other people's information and data to other companies and advertisers.
That's right.
Is, I guess, the first question you have to ask yourself is, will there be a point where, and Google obviously through YouTube and through other means are able to do all kinds of ads, but is there going to be a time where traditional advertising doesn't work? In other words, will a Coca-Cola still want to try to reach the average consumer through means of advertising? Will there be another way? Because advertising has been, been around for, 100 years or whatever, but is that going to still be the best way to reach consumers through these other people? I guess, what I'm wondering is, will it be hardware that wins out at the end of the day, or software and advertising that wins out? Because Google and Facebook have basically pushed all their chips in the center on like information, exchange of information and advertising. Whereas Apple and Microsoft and Amazon have pushed away. Microsoft and Amazon pushed all their chips on the table in terms of like selling you stuff.
I think
what
it's both
going to win.
I think it's both. I feel like the platform, the medium will always change. Like, it changed from a book. A book is a medium of technology that changed to a, you could argue, like the radio, television, computer.
Yeah,
like all that, exactly. All that's going to change and evolve. So I feel like my bet, if I were a betting man, it would be on the information, it'd be on the software, because ultimately that's what we enjoy. Like, yes, this is the hardware, but we want to get to the apps, essentially. We want to get to the information. And so I think that most people would be attracted to that. Most people are invested in that.
Yeah.
And so that's my take on that.
I think you're right. I think it's just, and the only reason that made me question that is because I never thought there'd be a day where Microsoft could surpass Google, and it's happened. But you're right. I mean, look, magazines, radio existed as a delivery service for ads. Magazines, delivery service for ads. Television, delivery service for ads. Like, even just in a script, newspapers were that.
Yeah.
So now you have Facebook, you know, all these other things, delivery service for ads.
That's right.
So, I mean, I guess that the hardware may change.
Exactly. But it's always going to be a delivery service.
Right, for whatever it's going to be. Whether it's your watch, whether it's whatever. So, okay.
But yeah, I'm interested to see, you know, how Microsoft is going to sustain being third place. I feel like Google, is primed more for like a new discovery because of how they've been diversified their company with Alphabet and different technologies that they're developing and just the R&D that they the process they have with
their
that.
Their R&D is like, who knows what they've exactly. They've got just billions out in developing.
That's stuff. Waiting to blow up. Right. You know what I'm saying? So who knows? They might be first place like 2 years from now. Exactly. So.
That's a good point.
Well, yeah, let's move on to this next joint, man. This is some crazy stuff. So a robot creator predicts that the humanoid civil rights will be in 2045. And what that means is that the artificial intelligence machine will, within about 30 years from now, will be at a place where it will demand civil rights from society, meaning that they are arguing that within 5 years from now, there will be an artificial intelligence that will have the smarts or the intellect of a one-year-old child. Mm-hmm. And then another 30 years from now, the AI is going to want certain rights like wanting to marry, wanting to own land, wanting to vote and participate in different facets of society. What do you make of this, bro? Like, artificial intelligence demanding civil rights? Man, me and you don't have civil rights!
We just got civil rights like 30, 60 years ago.
Man.
Listen, I think this is highly... I think that this was... I think a couple of things. This was probably a conversation that some scholars were having in 1845 about the Negro.
Wow. Wow.
I predict. But no, I think that... I think this is totally plausible. 1,000,000% plausible.
What's the movie? Will Smith?
Oh, iRobot.
iRobot. Yeah.
Yeah, that's a Isaac Imanoff model there. Yeah. I mean, thing. Book. And look, I think this is 100% plausible. This is actually, ironically, a small sub storyline in Solo. Not to spoil it, but that's just not a spoiler at all. But this is Lando's co-pilot was talking about getting their rights and civil rights and talking to other robots, like, don't be a slave. Like, let me take that restricting bolt off. Like, you know, it was kind of funny, but it was very timely. And it was somewhere between Me Too and Pink Hats and also civil rights stuff. And it was interesting, but yeah, man, sure. If you tell me that right now in 5 years, an AI will have the intelligence of a one-year-old child, and at the rate that they learn, and it's usually it won't take them 30 years to be 30.
Nope.
Right? It'll take them probably, 2 years to be 30.
Right.
And then what happens? And what their 30 is versus our 30, you know, in 30 years, who knows?
Who knows?
So, yeah, 100%. And then actually, if we continue to make our advancements in our synthetic limbs and all this other stuff, look, Jimmy Fallon's new girlfriend is already like, that's crazy. So I don't know.
But I think, does this topic speak to who we are as a people, as human beings, that we will create these artificial intelligent machines and treat them like shit ultimately,
yeah.
Or we'll treat them like machines, but machines that have a higher, have the potential to have more intelligence than us.
Yeah.
Like, that's just a weird concept, right?
This is a revolution.
You talk shit to your computer. You talk shit to Alexa, to
right.
Siri.
Right.
Like, you don't have no respect for them hoes.
Shut up, Siri.
I can't.
Oh, man.
Shut up, Alexa.
Right.
Tell me what to do.
Man, that's a weird shift, though, like, in your paradigm. Like,
is 100% going to happen. It's 100% our nature to, you know... We did it with gays, we did it with women, still do it with women, we still do it with gays, we still do it with brown people, with other people from other countries, no matter what color you are. We have a tendency to sort of, as humans, to, it's class, you know, I'm richer than you, therefore I'm better than you. Like, just a machine, is what we do.
Do we value human life the same way we will value a machine? That's what I'm asking. Is the value the same?
I guess it depends. This is an age-old, also age-old sci-fi. This is like an episode of Black Mirror, 5 episodes of Black Mirror. But yeah, I mean, I guess it depends on, you know, at a certain point, you have to redefine what that is. If you define what consciousness, this is also Westworld. What happens in Westworld right now.
That's right.
If you define consciousness or self-awareness as you have a checklist of what these, what it means to be conscious and self-aware, what it means to be itself, basically a conscious human being, a conscious thinker. And Watson from IBM hits all those checklists.
Yeah, but
what are you going to say?
A big part of what makes us human is our emotional body. Like, can a machine feel pain? Can a machine feel happiness? Can we program a machine to have joy of becoming a parent losing a child?
Once there's once they are self-aware, you may not have to program them. You don't know what feeling joy is. This is.
I feel also, as a machine. You can't relate.
Did you see her? This is the same thing that happened to poor Scarlett Johansson. She was like falling in love. Like, you know, no one programmed that. Every reference is a movie reference for me. And then the other point about this is that this is also a debate that stems around cloning.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like if you are able to genetically engineer a human being or genetically engineer someone that is you created in a test tube, for lack of a better word, then do you have the right to then discard them, throw them away if it doesn't work? If he grows an arm out of his back, throw him away. Like this is all the stuff. We'll see. You know.
I don't know. I'm gonna have to like do some more research on this question, because I think it's a philosophical question. Like how do we as human beings value things that are not, that are soulless, essentially, that don't have, I mean, but that could also be a philosophical question. What's soul?
Yeah, exactly. Because your question's already loaded.
Exactly.
At least the first question to ask is, again, back right to that checklist. What is your criteria for being human, or what's your criteria for being alive?
Right.
You know, what, once you make that criteria up, then that's where the slippery slope starts. Because right. Once the computer, and it will, meets all those checklists, you're like, yeah, but you can't do this, bro.
Yes, I can. Yes, I can.
So we'll see. I don't know. Wow. I mean, who knows? I don't know. Who knows? I think this is 100. I believe this 100%. So,
man, that's crazy.
Yeah.
Well, hey, good news for you Lyft drivers out there. Lyft is going to spend $100 million on new driver support centers. And what that means is they're going to create these hubs throughout the city where you can literally, if you are a person that drives Lyft, you can go in and essentially get oil change, get car wash, get certain things fixed on your vehicle for a considerable discounted rate. And so they plan on developing this out way more. They already have them now. They're going to expand the hours so that you can actually go there and literally get your car worked on. And so it's a way for Lyft to invest into the driver and by giving them more additional support. Do you think that this is going to give Lyft a better edge over Uber? Uber has done the same thing, but Lyft is saying they're going to put way more money into this.
This is how I know that you're not me, because I would have said, is this going to give Lyft a lift?
But, oh, no.
But, yeah, you know, I think this is a fantastic idea. I think that, you know, it feels like Lyft is making a shift into investing more into people and the drivers. Whereas Uber is making a shift in investing more into technology and user acquisition,
right?
So and I think that Lyft is doing that too. But I think that as a business model, Lyft, you know, Uber's thing is Uber's always felt more like more of a technology company, and Uber's felt like more of a like a transportation company, and so I think that Uber seems like that they're going to go a different route. But Lyft, what's cool about this is not just that it's just a better employment. Uber and Lyft are already great means of employment for part-time people when it comes to, you know, being an actor or being whatever it is here in Los Angeles. You can Uber on the side. You can still go to auditions. You can have, you can be retired and come and make some extra money. You know, it's a really great way to do all of that stuff. So I think all that's fantastic. I think the thing about this is the thing I love about this is it's not just the center. They're making them so that they're like, you can go in almost like a community. So you can go hang out with other Uber drivers, like a big Barnes & Noble, or I'm sorry, Lyft drivers, like a big Barnes & Noble or a Starbucks. Like the design is all fresh, and this one has trees inside and a glass case where things are being fixed. So I think it's fantastic.
Yeah, I think it's dope. I think it's an excellent add-on, especially for a company that doesn't own any vehicles. Doesn't, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like all the risk is on the driver. Like you have to put up the insurance, like you have to put up the money for the maintenance. So adding this, incentivizing the driver with this, I think is a great thing.
Because Uber does that thing. You can rent cars from them, you can buy cars from them. So that's their whole thing. And look, if I'm looking between Uber and Lyft, you know, I'm going with Lyft right now. I don't want to get raped.
I mean, but hey, you could do both. Most drivers do.
They do.
Speaking of Uber, they have we talked about this a few weeks ago about their panic button, because of how a lot of people were having, you know, a lot of criminal activity happen while they were on a drive with Uber.
Sure.
Being assaulted to rape to all sorts of things. Right. And so Uber said, well, we're going to develop a panic button, which will essentially, you'll be able to, you know, dial 911 with the touch of a button and we'll be able to track you. And so that button is now live in the United States and people are really excited about it. Do you think that the question is, do you think that, so they've offered this for the consumer, for the person that's hailing the vehicle, but they have not offered it for the actual driver. And so the question is, hey, I might be driving and pick up someone that's drunk and they might be crazy, like doing crazy stuff to me as the driver. How do I protect myself? And so that's what the argument is. Like, okay, you protected the rider now.
Right.
How do you protect the driver?
It's a good point. I mean, I would like to think that Uber would do it, install something for the drivers as well. I mean, it must not be that hard to do. If I could, from my phone on a ride, could hit something, the driver should be able to do the same thing. So that seems like a thing. But I don't believe this because it really honestly feels like just PR, like a PR hit. I mean, because I don't know what the stats are. I don't know if you look at Lyft stats, does Lyft have as much assault in a Lyft as Uber does? And Uber's just getting the bad press because, you know, Uber's got their history. But I don't know. This feels like a PR thing. I feel like the app's the app. The back end technology is there for the drivers as well as for the users. So, you know, I feel like they should be able to handle that.
Hey, well, last story about Uber. So, a few months ago, I don't know, I think you were away, but there was a story about, you probably caught this in the news, about a self driving Uber that killed a woman on walking a bicycle across the street in Arizona. And so they have done, the National Transportation Safety Board has done an investigation as to what happened. And so ultimately the vehicle picked up the woman, but saw her first as an unidentified object. Then they saw her as a vehicle. Then they saw her as a bicycle. And then by that time it was too late. And so ultimately it was able to pick her up, but the brakes didn't deploy essentially. And so the question is, or the conversation piece is, do you think that this type of tragedy should halt the pursuance of this technology? Or do you think that there should still be an investment of money and an opening up of the regulations to be able to have this type of technology running our streets?
Yeah, I think this, I mean, I don't want to sound like a cold-hearted businessman. I'm sure this is what they're saying in the boardrooms at Uber, but this sort of thing is inevitable. I mean, it can sound even more horrible.
But there's no way around it.
You don't make an omelet without breaking a few eggs, Akili. And I'm not saying that. But I'm saying that, like, any of the stuff, look, if you're talking about self-driving cars at this level, there's no way you're not going to have any kind of test period, beta period, whatever period, that you're not going to have any kind of mishaps and probably a death. And if you have over, 100 million miles driven and like two deaths, and I think that's pretty good, I mean, considering what you have with real drivers. Now, I'm not going to be the one to make that case, because that's a ridiculous thing to say about this poor woman's life, but because at the end of the day, the flip side of that is six seconds is a long time. That's a long time, like, for, like, to see, identify someone, 1001, 1002, 1003, 1004. Oh, it's a woman. That's a long time. Like, so, I mean, that's more than Sully had to make his call on landing, he's a human. So I think that if I saw that person.
Another movie reference.
Another movie reference, also involving the NTSB. But I think that if I, it's like to think that if you or I were driving a car, it would take us 2 seconds. We saw a person, 2 seconds, we swerve. 1 second, we swerve. So I don't know. It's I think that Uber has to forge on, but it's just unfortunate. It's a bad story.
It's super unfortunate. And I felt like when I covered the story months ago, it was like hard to talk about this, because, like, in a way, like, this technology will come to fruition, years down the line. But it's like, we don't want to be insensitive that, like you said, a woman's life was taken and she was just minding her own business. She was crossing the street.
Right.
And, like, the way the technology is supposed to be set up is that, hey, the self-autonomous vehicle will either stop itself or will alert the driver. It didn't either. So it's like,
that's the problem.
It's just a lose-lose.
And we talk about this all the time. Like, what about these, sort of Sophie's Choice situations where there is a pedestrian on one side and you could get in a fatal crash on one side, or there's a cliff on, there's a cliff over here. You can hit a pedestrian over here, or you can slam into the back of a car. what choice does it make?
Well, the vehicles will say, well, yeah, you ain't giving me my civil rights yet.
Right. Like, what do you want to do? I know what I want to do. Like, yeah, I don't know. Yeah, that's those things. And how do you make those choices? How do you allow your autonomous driving vehicle? He's like, well, no harm, no human life, so I'm going off the cliff.
Man.
You might live. You have a 30% chance of surviving. Who knows?
Right,
you know?
Right.
I don't know.
Hey, well, that is a very interesting topic. I'm sure we'll cover much more in the future. But hey, man, are you hip to this topic? This story about Disney preparing a counter Comcast bid for Fox. So we all know that about almost a year ago, Disney essentially said, we're going to buy Fox. And Fox was like, cool. The deal has not gone through yet because it's going through, I guess, regulation to see if the government will actually allow it to happen. And so it's supposed to happen this in summer of 2019. But in the interim, Comcast said, you know what? We will offer Fox, you know, we'll also give Fox an offer. And it's going to be a much more fruitful offer. And hey, like, you guys consider it. And so the Disney offer was essentially that they would pay Fox, they would buy Fox in stock, and it would be tax-free to be able to make that transaction. The Comcast offer is saying that, no, we'll buy it straight cash. But then Fox was,
cash,
like,
homie.
Fox was like, well, if it doesn't get past regulators, will you give us like a pretty much a fee just in case it doesn't get passed? And Comcast is like, no, we can't give you the fee. So I think that Fox is still considering both.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think? What do you think's going to happen?
Of course, they're considering both. I mean, apparently Fox needs the money, which is sad. I'm already like, it's kind of pit in my stomach to think that Comcast would own Universal and Fox.
Woo!
But at the same,
but what's the difference?
And NBC, what's the difference? Disney owns, you know, ABC and Marvel and Lucasfilm and Fox.
Right.
So I guess there's no difference. But I don't know, man. I just really want. I guess what I would prefer if one of these technology companies came in and made a bid, like Apple or Facebook,
we will triple
or Google.
It.
I mean, like, really, I would love to see that happen to Viacom. I would love to see someone buy Paramount or buy one of these. But yeah, of course, I think Fox is going to sit back and wait. I mean, and it's why not? If Comcast does agree to that and they don't get to buy the deal, they don't get the deal done, they get a penalty of a couple Bs or whatever it's going to be. So good, so be it.
So be it. What? You just gonna give up some bees? Hell no.
Get the deal done, Comcast.
Hey. But I mean, they want to get the deal done. It's not based on them.
But if the federal regulators don't approve it because it's, you know, too wonky, then that's not Fox's fault. Give my $3-4 billion. Whatever it's gonna be, whatever the penalty is.
But would it be wonky because it's becoming more monopolized though? Not because it's the deal's messed up.
I don't understand what is the difference between Comcast
and Disney doing
Disney.
It?
Well, I do actually, because Comcast is a cable operator who owns all these cable stations.
Probably.
And owns all these cable boxes and a network and a studio already.
Right. Yeah.
So, and then own an additional studio with all those assets. I mean, that's kind of getting.
Yeah, that's huge market share.
I mean, Disney's
of
one
everything.
Thing, but like, I don't know, Comcast is a little more scary than Disney to me.
Yeah, I agree. In the deal, it's FX. Can't talk today. FX is National Geographic. It's a 30% stake in Hulu. It's all the 20th Century Fox film and television production studios, which includes X-Men, Fantastic Four, and Deadpool. It's a huge deal. It's a huge amount of intellectual property. So I'm interested to see like how it goes down. I have a lot of colleagues at Fox that believe that it's going to be Disney that does it. Like, a lot of people are kind of bracing for that transition. So
right.
We'll see what happens.
We'll see. I'm sad about all of it, but it's fine. I mean, I don't like it. It's just too much. Pretty soon it'll be all one company.
I know.
It'll be all like Amazon and Fox. I mean, Amazon and Facebook will own everything or something like that. So we'll see.
Man, well, I'm going to get through this pretty fast. So quick hits for you.
Yeah.
You saw Solo, correct?
I did.
So tell me why it tanked at the box office.
God, well, I don't. $100 million. First of all, $100 million isn't tanking.
Well, it's tanking. I mean, in the context of a Disney film,
I think in the context, it's the lowest grossing Star Wars film. It didn't do the expectations of Rogue One, which made $1 billion, which is really unfair. I think Rogue One's expectations were low. This is the people forget. The expectations for Rogue One were low. When Kathleen Kennedy announced things, she was like, "We're gonna make these smaller Star Wars movies. We're going to spend a little less money and make these grittier, smaller Star Wars movies and tell some different stories." Well, after Rogue One made $1 billion, they're like, F that. We're going to make all event movies. And I feel like it's just too much pressure. Like, you can't make every movie's not going to be a quote-unquote Star Wars movie. If you told Kathleen Kennedy, you know, 4 years ago, she'd make a Han Solo movie that would do $100 million over the weekend. She'd be ecstatic. And now all of a sudden, it's like $100 million. Well, shit. Because when it's all said and done, they spent $400 million on making and marketing the movie.
That's a lot, though.
And Rogue One
did... That's more than Black Panther.
It is. Rogue One did extremely well overseas, mainly because of the two Chinese-Asian stars.
Right. It was more diversified.
But... I don't know. Right now, Han Solo is not tracking very well overseas.
The argument that was made is that when Rogue One was released, it was in the winter, less competitive space. Versus now, we're in the heat of summer. You have all these big movies coming out. Deadpool.
Yeah.
You have, I mean, so like, why, strategically, why would they do that?
They just got too swaggy.
Ooh.
I mean, they did. They were like, we're Lucasfilm, we're Marvel. We released Marvel movies back to back to back, and no one said nothing. You know, everybody, all my movies made money. We Thor hit, Black Panther hit, Infinity War hit. Which you gotta say, and then so, you know, Rogue One hit, Last Jedi like big enough hit, and. So they're like, Solo's going to blow up. Now, people, you know, I don't know how much people's knowledge of the Trouble production, you know, with Lord Miller and Kathleen Kennedy and the, you know, Troubles with Alden Emmerich and, you know, and his portrayal, all this stuff that went down. You know, there was a big tone change with Ron Howard, and I felt it, you know, like big score for the whole movie, and it was way too earnest because Solo is more of like a gangster. He's a smuggler,
yeah.
You know, and he's earnest. And so I don't know. I enjoyed the film.
Oh, that's
I enjoyed
the film. Did you like personally like it?
I enjoyed the film. It was basically like a heist movie. It had some cool heist elements, very swashbuckling. I enjoyed the origin stories. Donald Glover was cool.
He did good.
I mean,
you said cool. That could be ambiguous.
He was great, in my opinion. Okay. I mean, I think he just nailed it. I mean, he didn't have a lot to do, but he nailed it. He had the voice down. He had the charm down.
Does he deserve his own movie?
I mean, he's Donald Glover. He already deserves his own movie. Took the part.
Well, I mean, does he deserve to have his own Star Wars movie?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, before he got the part, he deserved the movie. Okay. Lando did. So I feel like I would be more excited about a Lando spinoff movie than I am about a new Solo movie. Although they did set this up for a sequel. Couple very serious cliffhangers at the end. I would definitely watch another Solo movie. I thought it was good. I don't know. I just feel like expectations are way too high, and this is the problem with our culture right now. Anyway, I watched that movie. I had no expectations. I saw it at the Chinese theater. Saw it by myself. I enjoyed it. I skipped out. You know, walked home. Felt great. And fired up my computer. And was like, what's wrong with Star Wars? I'm like, what happened? What happened? I didn't like, it's only making $100 million. It's the end of an era. Star Wars is over. I'm like, God, the freaking depressed. I don't know. That's what we do. I don't know.
Oh, that's really, really funny. All right, so two last things before we get out of here. I hear in the works there is a Spawn movie reboot, my man.
Oof.
With Jamie Foxx as the lead. Your boy.
Ugh.
What do you think?
Boo!
Really?
That is a double boo.
Wait, for me. You got to unpack that because yes. Spawn is a dope character, number one.
People love Spawn.
And he's never been rightfully done on film.
So let's call Jamie Foxx. He's the guy. No.
Dang.
I mean, I agree with all that. I agree Spawn's cool and Mark Farland's version of the comic's cool, but God, man, like, you know, this is what worries me. I mean, is Fox the guy? This doesn't excite me. I'm more excited about the James Mangold Boba Fett movie.
Okay.
I'm more excited about that being like dark and gritty, but like, I don't know. How do you feel?
Hey, man, coming up as a kid, I love Spawn. I mean, we're talking about, you know, black characters.
Sure.
Like, that was one that I was collecting Spawn. Like, yeah. I love Spawn. So Spawn's like,
dope.
When the movie came out in, was it like, well, who's my man? Michael.
Michael Jai.
Yeah, Michael Jai. Like
Michael Jai White or Michael Jai.
Yeah, Michael Jai White.
Okay.
I mean, I felt like that movie was cool, but looking back at it now, it was not cool at all. It was whack.
First of all, Michael Jai White, not a good actor. Sorry, Michael Jai. I met him. He was good in Batman when he got his head in the nail. The Joker got him with the nail.
Yeah. So that movie came out in 1997. But yeah, man. I mean, I'm looking forward to this because I think that. I mean, it's just another black character that we can fall in love with on the big screen. You know, what
absolutely.
I'm saying?
So, I'm all for it. I don't want to hear. Do you? All I just cut to is Jamie Foxx doing some voice. I am Spawn. I'm like, nah, bro.
Anyway, man. you know, you're probably right though. Like, the more I think about it, you're probably right.
Foxx not the guy.
Yeah,
but bring back the movie. Also depends on the director.
All right. Well, so. I'll tell you two directors that are bringing a dope movie to life, and that's Spike Lee.
Yep.
And your boy Jordan Peele from Get Out, and they have a movie called Black Klansman that will be premiering pretty soon.
I'm super excited about this one.
Man, have you seen the trailer?
So I've seen the trailer.
It is hilarious.
I've seen the trailer.
And my boy, man, my boy Washington, John David Washington, Denzel's son, doing his damn thing.
Doing his damn thing. I mean, like, sometimes when I watch him in Ballers, like,
you say you didn't like him in Ballers.
No, I mean, I
love him in Ballers.
I like Ballers in general. I mean, like, say, so evaporates on my eyeballs the second I watch it. But I do like it. But every time I close my eyes every now and then, I can hear that Denzel cadence. But I can tell he's also avoiding it.
Right.
And here in the trailer, he's leaning into it.
Yeah,
he's leaning into that Denzel. It's funny to hear. You close your eyes, you think, oh, it's another Denzel joint.
That's right.
I wonder if it'd be a matter of time for a spy work with John David. And look, if he shaves his shit up, he might be, you know. And how soon do we see him in a father son role?
Man,
yeah,
that'd be kind of cool.
Yeah, it feels like a comedy.
I think this is going to be a classic, though. They said at Cannes it got a 6-minute standing ovation.
It feels like Spike Lee's return to like something. I'm saying possible award contention, like Oscar.
Really, you think this is an award contender?
I just feel like the buzz is getting. Subject matter, it's got, you know, it's got Adam Driver doing a thing, it's got all this stuff. I feel it's based on a true story. It's got all the right stuff. If Spike Lee doesn't over spike it up in it, because he gets a little artsy fartsy sometimes, and which is his right, he's a filmmaker, but you know, he's a little artsy. So if he doesn't over spike it out, it might be good. It might be great.
I just love the collab of Jordan Peele and Spike. I think that brain trust, that's a sick brain trust right there.
I agree.
Man, like, I agree. They're going to come out with some heat. Last thing, man, this is your generation. Atari Retro VCS console is now available for pre-order. Are you going to buy this? It's going for $300 for a wood front finish, and they have also a Black Onyx edition for $200. It'll have 100 games. It's Bluetooth. It has all the newest technology. It just has the casing is the throwback, and the games are the throwback. Is this something that interests you?
I'm sorry. Did you say $300?
Yeah, $300. $300 and $200.
I saw there was like a bunch of these like for like $60 at like Target. So that looks like the Atari, and it's got the little Atari thing. Why is this all?
I mean, have you seen the picture? I mean, it looks kind of clean though.
It's clean, but like. Yeah, I'm gonna get one because I got one of those, and I got the Thriller album and the Atari 2600 in the same Christmas, and that shit was fire. So yes, I'm getting it.
Good times. Well, that ends our time here on today's show. Appreciate you guys for listening and watching. Joe, where can they find you?
You can find me on Instagram and Twitter at Joe K. Braswell. Where can the people find you?
You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at Akili Shine, AKILISHINE. As always, we appreciate you guys for tuning in and supporting the show, and we will see you and talk with you next week.
Peace.
From executives Kevin Undergaro, Dario Kristen, Tiana Hobson, and the entire BHL staff, we would like to thank you for supporting Black Hollywood Live, the first online broadcast network dedicated to African-American entertainment. For questions and comments, contact us, info@blackhollywoodlive.com. Like us on Facebook, tweet us, or Instagram us at BHL Online. And I am the official voice of Black Hollywood Live, Scipio, Instagram me, at KingXOBay. Thanks for tuning in. The views expressed here are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of BHL or its owners or principals.